Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 678. This is Kevin DeFrango, and awkwardly, he's going to do an introduction for Jeremy Mays since we don't do this intro very much.
Wait, am I supposed to talk?
Yeah.
Oh, well, hey, everybody, how are you?
Yeah, you're just trying to make it more awkward, huh? Is that what you wanted to do there?
No, like, you usually just go, joining me is Jeremy. I'm like, okay. I was like, well, since we're doing a real intro, I'm like, Oh yeah, you're right. I guess
it's been a while since you and I have done a regular intro like that. Like we usually just hit record at some juncture because we have been BSing before the show.
That's true. Yeah, but I guess we actually got stuff to talk about this time. You know.
Yeah. How was it inside of that 8,600 person arena?
Well, yeah, so I found out it only seats 6,000 people, right? Well, that's before you put people on the floor. So, all right, so in case you can't tell, I went to the AEW show last night at the Bojangles Coliseum, part of the Bowplex, which is shared with Ovens Arena. Ovens Arena is just basically an auditorium. So, like, I saw Joe Rogan there, Tom Segura, Practical Jokers, all sorts of people. They share the same parking lot. They actually spent like millions of dollars to connect the two so that you can get to Ovens from Bojangles and vice versa. So it was 100 degrees yesterday in Charlotte. And I think it was actually 103 today. These stupid assholes, like, you had to go in, by the way, and I'm not exaggerating, Bojangles Arena has one entrance. One entrance and many doors.
Yeah. So, I'm going to just assume they did not have the staff to work the doors.
It's like this all the time. It's
really?
1988. I'm like, what, in the late 80s, they didn't realize, we should probably put a few entranceways into this thing? I mean, you know, arenas have been around for what? Forever, I think.
Yep, pretty much forever.
So, I couldn't believe it. We were actually on 74 on the other side of the building. And all, like, literally all we would have to do is walk a straight line through the building to get to the entrance. We got there at 6. We got in the building at 6:40.
No.
Doors opened at 6. And we ran into this last time, but it wasn't nearly as hot, so it wasn't so bad.
Oh, yeah.
But, dude, that's when I – and then that's when I start texting you. You know, when you're waiting in a wrestling line like that, a lot of things become clear in your life. You know, we always talk about how we weren't successful.
Oh, right.
Because we're not like the other people who go to these shows. Plain and simple. We're not. I can list a few different ways. One of them is, Elise and I were the fittest people in that line. Yes, I mean the entire line. I'm not bagging on people that are overweight, but I'm going to. Why are they all at wrestling shows? Why? 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 You go to a basketball game, you don't see this. You go to a football game, sure. A few certain individuals are grossly overweight, cool. Why are they always out in numbers at a wrestling show? It makes no sense. Where do these people live? I don't get it. I don't see them anywhere else. The average weight of somebody in this place was at least 400 pounds. I'm only slightly exaggerating, because the poor gentleman in front of us, he was so big, he took over the seats next to him on both sides.
Oof.
Yes. And as Elise so gently puts it, his back fat kept touching my knee. Now listen, this is not a personal attack on this guy. I don't know how nice he is, nothing. He couldn't have been comfortable because another guy, not as big as him, but another bigger guy had to sit next to him. And that guy sat at a right angle the whole time just to get some room.
Yeah.
It's just brutal. And these poor bastards are waiting in line for 40 minutes in the sun. And like 80% humidity. Like, I texted you, a poor kid passed out in front of us.
Yeah, that one, that part is kind of wild, but not completely surprising either.
It's a young kid, too. I'd say 14, 15. And he's also just on the ground, like, that. he has the hand crimped over, because he was just, like, you know, kind of going into a seizure or whatever. And all of a sudden, he just gets up like nothing happened.
Oh.
And we're all like, are you okay? Yeah. You were just out. I mean, this kid wasn't faking it. So the paramedics came over, and then they told him to sit down, gave him ice and water and all this. And one paramedic lady even said, you're not the only one that's done this today. And I immediately was like, then why aren't there more doors open? Now, what I was getting at with these places being connected, you can walk into Ovens, go through the tunnel or the enclosure they built to get into Bojangles Arena.
Oh, okay.
There was no need for any of this.
Oh.
But they cut it off because there was a VIP area. And I went, fuck the VIPs. You know, you sold these tickets. It wasn't supposed to be 100 degrees outside. Like, this is ridiculous. No shade. Just awful. And then as soon as you enter this place, there's a Bojangles inside, which for those people who don't know, Bojangles is a southern chicken joint, which if you get a good one, are baller. If you get a bad one, oh boy, they're bad. There's the AEW merchandise stand right next to where you walk in.
Uh-huh.
The one beer cart. Everyone, just, as soon as you walk in, everyone just stands there. It's brutal.
Oof.
So we're like, I guess we're not eating tonight. And then dark started, and I realized I don't care about any of these people. And it's not, you know, it's kind of like how they're supposed to be. Like, Red Velvet was out. I think she was out first. She's fine. You also realize, watching some of these matches in person, just how short the women are.
Oh.
Like, Thunder Rosa was tall compared to the other women.
Yeah. Did she wrestle someone on the card?
I always forget her name, and she shouldn't be on TV right now.
Yeah, but just kind of referring to you mentioning that she looked tall, I'm like, she looks tall against whomever she fought.
Julia Hart. That's right.
Oh.
I forgot.
Oh, yeah, because she's with the Varsity Blondes there.
Which, God bless them. Brian Pillman Jr. is a ball of fire outside. Griff Garrison just kind of stands there. I don't know. I watched it today and it didn't really come across on TV. But Pillman's trying to get people to chant the whole time. He's playing with the crowd, and Griff's just kind of standing there.
Well, we know who the Shawn Michaels and the Marty Jannetty are in that crew.
Yeah, well.
So,
in a way, that's good.
I feel like a lot of times recently we've had to say, man, both of these tag team guys are really good. In this case, I'm like, yeah, I see Pillman doing bigger and better things at some point. Griff Garrison, not so much.
Not yet, but, you know, people surprise you.
Yeah, he has time.
And that's one of the stories of this AEW show in general is who the crowd's legitimately behind. Because, I don't know, I've been watching Raw and SmackDown, and they're still using audio sweetener. So is NXT, by the way. They're still using NXT. They're using audio sweetener for cheers and boos, which is just weird to me. But anyways, the AEW crowd, first, they were on fire. That place was jacked. To get into Dynamite proper, I know why they put it on first. Because, one, the crowd was just super hot in there. I mean, I remember last time I went, I was kind of complaining that it sounded louder on TV than it was in person.
Uh-huh.
It sounded louder in person than it did on TV.
I thought it, because I was just saying to Chris that, in general, I do feel like fans have been very excited to be back.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And to me, it's come across on TV.
Yeah, I thought watching a replay back today, the crowd was louder in person. But it doesn't matter because it was still pretty loud on TV, too. Last time when I was there, the crowd was not that loud, but it sounded like a football stadium on TV. So I don't know what that was about. Maybe it was just where I was sitting. I was actually close. I told Elise, I was like, we are four rows away from $300 tickets. And she looks at me and goes, how much did we pay for these? $30. So, little trick for everyone, do not buy floor seats unless you're in the first or second row. That's it.
I would. I'm of that mindset, too.
Yeah.
You know, I am definitely not tall enough, nor is the wife, to be sitting in the back row of a floor section.
Oh, yeah. The most pointless floor seats ever. Unless you're off the aisle where the wrestler's coming down, then I can go, okay, I understand that. Outside of that, no.
Right.
And I am straining a little bit to talk because I did have a very good time last night. So, not having anything to drink and yelling is not a good idea. And then shotgunning the one beer you have because you're so thirsty and then yelling some more is still not a good idea. So, it's slowly been coming back to me today, but...
Oh, man. Well, that's good. I mean, that's certainly something that I still actually have not paid for a ticket to go to, what the hell's coming here, Extreme Rules.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, yes.
Oh. See, there's... quite a different experience than I did. So...
Huh?
Just for are you going to go to Extreme Rules?
Probably. I haven't bought the ticket yet. We'll have to take a look. I know I'm going alone if I go. So.
When is it?
I want to say September or October.
Okay.
It's a little while away. But yeah, I mean, because that's one of those few things that is not. It's only tempting to me because it's a pay-per-view, and in general, the WWE pay-per-views have been good.
Yeah.
The shows, I definitely don't want to go see a Raw. If it would have been a Raw, I'd have been like, oh man, yeah, you can buzz right off.
Oh yeah, all right, no chance. I don't think there's a chance that Hell could ever go to Raw again. These 3-hour shows. Like, even the AEW show last night seemed long. It really did. And when I saw it was only 9:15, I was like, oh, wow. They've worked a lot of stuff into this. But to start at the beginning, for, like, the dark matches, that was fun. David Crockett got a really... Oh, David Crockett's one of the announcers.
Oh, okay.
He was a special guest announcer. That was a cool... Everyone started cheering. Everyone was chanting for a Fuego del Sol. So later on, when he came out, it didn't really come across TV too much. But when Fuego came out during the Malakai Black and Cody Rhodes thing, people started cheering loud for Fuego. And then when he got kicked, everyone cheered. And I was like, make up your minds. Like, it was like a John Cena thing. Like, you're happy he's here. You're happy he's getting his ass kicked. Like, wait a sec, what? And so that was fun. Dark was just whatever, like usual. I know you don't watch it, but it's just like a bunch of throwaway stuff. It was Dark Elevation, excuse me. They did Elevation first. Because those are all like the, not the throwaway people, but like the whatever people.
Like the up and coming. Developmental.
Yeah.
Let's call
them. You could tell. You could definitely tell. The one surprise, though, and people went crazy, including myself, Miro showed up.
Oh.
He was actually in the building. So he all of a sudden his stuff came out, and it's like God's favorite champion. That place went crazy.
Nice.
And then he came out just telling Lee Johnson what he's going to do to him and all this. No fighting or anything. And then I think that's how Dark ended. Because next week is Miro and Lee Johnson. Somehow Lee Johnson gets a TNT title shot. I don't understand how that works, but okay. And after the cameras were done rolling, Miro was like trying to get everyone the cheer and all this stuff. Like, you know, he's a bad guy, but they're trying to get the cheer. So it was pretty cool. He is as jacked in person as he is on TV. I could see that all the way from where we're sitting.
Yeah, man. He really, I mean, that definitely started before the end of his WWE run. It was sometime because, did he drop the weight before Rusev Day or like when that movement started?
Did he drop what? I'm sorry.
He started dropping weight around that time period when he, yeah. Rusev Day became a thing. But, man, he just looks crazy now.
Yes. And this Redeemer shit is really good, too. Like, he's just one of the... He's just a weird zealot psycho. It's great.
Yeah.
I can't remember what was... The double, he's like, I want to thank God for my talent, my double jointed wife.
Yes.
That was hilarious. The crowd legitimately started laughing and then started cheering. And I'm like, he's the bad guy. He's bragging. And I guess they're like, oh, I like the way he brags. All right.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like fair enough. You know, like it. I guess he's doing what he can to be booed, but, you know, I guess that is one of those few times to me that I'm like, okay, great character's working for me in this situation.
Yeah. And that was kind of the theme for this whole show. The crowd, like when the Elite came out, one, the entrance for the... For Dynamite, that was cool with the Dark Order and Adam Page.
I was gonna ask how those looked in person because really both of those entrances to start Dynamite were awesome.
Yes, and okay, here's the problem though: the Young Bucks of the Elite, that was not supposed to be awesome. It was supposed to be annoying, but they're so good at being annoying. That it made it fun. Like, the crowd, like, another thing you couldn't really tell, like, the crowd was, like, clapping along with, like, that goofy basketball music they always play.
Oh, yeah.
And then, just, like, you didn't see a lot of it, but, like, the Young Bucks were humping to the music. And, like, Gallus and Anderson, they were just, like, walking around, like, we don't want to be here. Like, not that I don't want to be here, it was, like, whatever, we're not doing this bullshit. But... The Dark Order stuff was really cool, and they were actually facing... All right, so we were on the hard camera side.
Oh, so
everything
yeah.
that happened was facing us. So when they did the whole, like, you know, raise the hand, and Adam Page does... Or as Elise asked, is that Diamond Dallas Page? I was like, no. Adam Page, not Dallas Page. Is he still wrestling? I'm like, no, honey, he's almost 70 years old. He's been out of wrestling for a while, so.
Yeah, thank God he retired.
That match was so awesome live, and I watched it on TV. It was really good on TV, but live it was great. And the only problem is, and I don't even mind the finish because it made total sense. When Paige lost, actually, when John Silver lost or got pinned.
Uh-huh.
People were like, oh, no. Like, there was a dread. Like, are we seriously? Is he going to lose? And then he beats, Matt, right?
Yeah.
He beats Matt. And then, you know, all the other shenanigans. And I actually thought Omega was going to get disqualified. Like, get caught hitting with the
ball. Yep.
And then possibly Hangman could do, like, a sneaky pin or something like that on Nick. That would be, like, the only way. Like, if they're playing backfires.
Right.
But when he hit him with the belt, or no, when the first belt got taken, I was like, the TNA one's still there. Or whatever one it was.
Oh, right.
And the guy next to me goes, oh, man. I'm like, yep. Hits him. Gets that does a one-wing angel, gets a pin. I'm like, oh, my God. He's lost. That whole crowd was just deflated. That thing was 30 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
As it should have.
Yeah. Yeah. That, I think I talked about it recently. That used to be one of those things that we complained about elimination matches being entirely too quick, you know, people getting pinned in 2 minutes. You really almost have the opposite problem at this point.
Yeah. Well, they kind of played with you, though, because Alex Reynolds got pinned quick, and then Carl Anderson got pinned pretty quick.
Oh.
And we were like, oh, no, here we go. And then, no. The next one, wasn't it, was it Grimson and Gallows got countered out?
Yeah.
Which was kind of goofy.
Yeah, because then, did Evil Uno lose then after that? Yeah.
Yeah.
Because then it was Uno and Silver, and then it was, yeah, just the three of them.
Yeah. And it was just, it was, I will say this, it was captivating watching it, because they're doing such a good job of just teasing Hangman Page. Because that crowd's ready. He was the most over guy. Like, Ed almost says the word cow or boy, people go crazy. And the other, go ahead in the show, the other most over guy, besides Jericho, I guess, which I still think is nostalgia, actually, but Malachi Black.
Oh.
Cody came on the screen, and they started booing. That was muffled on TV. There was a legitimate booing from the crowd. I'm like, what the hell did Cody do? He's been nothing but a good guy the entire time. Like, okay. As soon as he got kicked, that place exploded. And then when they noticed they were fighting and they started going up the stairs, everyone in that crowd was like really, really excited. So I was like, holy shit. Like, and I know it's a WWE guy, but, you know, or I guess really an NXT guy. He didn't do shit on the main roster.
Oh, no.
Well, he got dicked around the main roster, I should say that. But.
Yeah, but that's fair enough.
It was so great. But then he kicks Fuego del Sol. People go crazy. Like, everything he was doing. And, like, at the end, he was just standing there. He's talking to the screen. People are cheering. No one booed. I mean, he's in black. He's supposed to be the black guy. Or the bad guy, excuse me. Did I say black guy?
Yes. No, I was just going to leave that alone.
Malachi Black, Aleister Black, he's the black guy in this case. So.
Yeah.
But yeah, so he's supposed to be the bad guy. Cody's just laying there like, okay, like, all right, well, it's quite a different reaction from the last time I was here where everyone was going crazy. So.
Yeah, I don't know if, I guess I don't know exactly what it is. I mean, I do feel like Cody gets cheered most of the time.
Yeah.
So.
Last night. That was weird, but yeah, but to back up, like, that was some rough business when they lost. That crowd was deflated, and then everyone started realizing the goddamn air conditioning's not on.
Oh,
and I'm looking around like, because I was like, the wrestlers are really sweating. I mean, oh, and to go along with this, someone who is deceptively large is Kenny Omega.
Oh, you know, that was another one that I'm like, this guy looks really jacked right now. Yes. Like, he looks like almost video gamey. I'm like, man, did he legitimately add muscle weight? Like, he looks bigger than he did even in New Japan.
Yeah. He's definitely, well, apparently he had a hurt shoulder for a long time. So he got smaller because he couldn't work out. And apparently he must be able to work out again. So.
Yeah, he looks huge right now. I did know, when he took off his jersey, I'm like, what the fuck?
He looked big in the jersey, and then. The reason I even brought it up is he was sweating so bad.
Oh, okay.
And I'm like, it's not that hot. And I went, oh my God, they're under the lights. They're doing all this stuff. And then you start realizing, oh my God, it's so hot in here. Like, it was warm enough to where my wallet, which I actually had in my back pocket, was actually, like, clammy. That's how hot it was. I have nothing good to say about this match, by the way. Nothing.
Yeah, I mean, that's not good. Did the AC ever kick on?
No.
Oh,
jeez. Not even a fan. All right, so think about this. Under regular circumstances, you want air movement. You want the air to be filtered. You want something, right?
Yeah.
How about now when there's, you know, COVID and COVID cases are going back up again? How about you really crank that shit? How about you have it like hockey game cold? And yes, I understand it's hot outside. I don't care. It shouldn't be 80-something degrees in there. Regardless.
Yeah.
It should be ice cold in there all day. Just so when you put all the bodies in a room. This sounds like I'm talking about my parents, by the way. I don't understand how this shit works either. Well, the thermostat only says 74. You have 8-foot ceilings, and there's 6 of us in the room. It's going to get really hot in here, but whatever. So, but anyways, and then, so, that was pretty crazy. Oh, I forgot, the other guy who's way over, you mentioned Darby Allin, and people start cheering.
Oh.
Because he's in the main event of Dark this week, against Bear Bronson. And besides him, his merchandise, there were kids with their faces painted. I thought it was for Sting. And then you take a little closer look. Oh, no, it's Darby Allin.
Yeah, because it's only half the face.
Yeah, or like the design. Well, some kids, you know, they're stupid. So they just do like the whole face. And you're like, well, okay, whatever. But that guy's a legit star for this company. I mean, it's as far as it's with the fans. I mean,
yeah.
I don't think any of these people are recognizable outside of Jericho to an outside audience.
So, yes, that is correct.
Yeah. So, not yet, at least. But
yeah, I. You know, they're off to a good start as far as, you know, being a company that at least sticks around. Like, at this point, like. It's kind of funny, like, it's a topic that I haven't even thought about probably in quite a few years, about Impact going under.
Okay.
Just, like, how often did we say TNA was going under?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, like, I that was a theme on this podcast for years. Years. And, like I said, like, I haven't even thought about it actually going out of business now for at least 3 years. Like, I'm like, no, they're here for the long haul. Like, you can watch or not, or, you know, make fun of the stations that they're on or not, but I think that they're sticking around. And I mean, AEW is on a bigger scale, and you know, TNT seems happy enough with them, and is, oh boy, they are giving them way more latitude than the WWE gets when it comes to what content they show on TV and still getting sponsors. Because I'm glad someone pointed it out on Twitter. I was about in tears because I wasn't paying that much attention last night. That they had Nick Gage bust out the pizza cutter, and it was immediately followed with a Domino's ad.
Yeah, and did you see who's really unhappy right now?
Domino's?
Yep. And when I saw that, I thought it was funny, and then I just went, Domino's ain't gonna be happy about that. Never mind, I'll save it for later, but like, yeah. Anyways, spoiler alert, I didn't like one of the matches. So, but yeah, like the first match, you know, kind of deflated the crowd. So they followed with the Ricky Stark stuff. We could not hear a word he was saying in there.
That's one where I listened to that whole thing, and there were a lot of people on the Twitter machine going off about it, about how great the promo was, but I was like, I feel like I'm missing something here, and it's just not clicking with me here, guys.
See, I really liked it, too. I also like Ricky Starks, so probably helps the matter. But I thought he came off real cocky, and you know, he made sense in his argument, too. He's like, I broke my neck. You didn't even care to reach out to me. You know, whether it's true or not, it's two different things, of course. But
right.
But no, I enjoyed it. We just couldn't hear what the hell he was saying.
That's a problem.
That's what he said. Yeah, that's what he said. You can't hear me because you're in, Brad. It's like, okay. No, we can't hear you because the Bojangles Arena fucking stinks. That's why. The speaker's from 1988 when it was built still. That's why.
Yeah, that is, I guess I hadn't thought about that, but I guess I'm not completely surprised. Just because AEW does run in the smaller venues, they are not usually the updated venues.
Yeah. Well, alright, this place actually does hold concerts. Like, Tool played there.
Oh.
Like, a few years ago. Not uh-huh. Like, 10 years ago. So I don't know if they just didn't have the system rigged correctly for us to hear, the speakers just weren't working correctly, whatever it was, we had a bitch of a time hearing what he was saying.
Was it just him that you had a hard time hearing, or was it everyone?
Tanahashi, Moxley, when Tony Schiavone came out, we could barely hear what Darby Allin was saying until he goes, so, you know, if I'm going to be in Chicago, if you want to say, like, I'll take you on, even especially if you say you're the best in the world. The crowd got the best in the world part and went nuts.
Oh.
So there's something with their, maybe it was AEW's audio on TV at least. People were chanting CM Punk and that they were going nuts when he said best in the world. On TV, it kind of came off like, oh yeah, people are cheering. So.
Hey, well, when you don't hear the inference, it's hard to cheer.
Yeah.
Or at least that's the only part you catch.
Yeah. We could hear Taz a little bit better, but not as well as we should have. So, and it was funny because the two guys who got attacked are local wrestlers, which of course they always are.
Oh, right.
So I told Elise, I was like, you see the guy with the mustache? That's the man scout, Jack Manning. He plays a grown man Boy Scout leader. Boy Scout leader.
Oh.
And the other guy was from, I think he's from PWX when we're out here. He wasn't even hitting the bass drum in beat. And JR even said something on commentary. That's how bad he was. So...
That's pretty hilarious. That is not something that I noticed, though.
Yeah. I noticed it from where we're sitting. But yeah, no. So, that was cool. Ricky Starks kind of pointed out the problem with Brian Cage, too. Like, that whole thing was kind of, like, not a waste of time, but there was no physical confrontation. It was weird. Like, Cage isn't that over with people. So... I can't remember what was after that.
Well, there's something weird. Like, everyone seems to have pushed Cage. Because, I mean, I remember seeing him Impact, and, like, I don't have a big problem with him, but he just still seems like he's just too big for his own good. Like, honestly, if he... And I know that he's talked about it, so I don't really expect him to be a smaller guy. But, honestly, if he dropped, like, 260 or something like that, I guess I just think it'd be better for him overall. Like, he almost looks too big.
He's only 6 foot tall. Cage is not a tall guy, so that muscle is really compact. So I agree with you. He probably should lose a little bit of it. But, you know, once you get like that, it's hard to tell yourself to lose it, you know?
Oh, yeah. Well, like I said, like, I don't think it's ever going to happen. Just because, yeah, like, at least from the way he talks, it doesn't seem like it's a thing that's going to happen. But it's just, there still, to me, hasn't been a good buy-in for me when I've seen him as a character.
Yeah, that's fair.
No matter whether it's been in Impact or in AEW so far. Because they've really, like, this all started because he showed respect to Sting, but that point has been lost months ago.
Yeah. Well, I guess that was the part of what Ricky Starks was talking about, how he had to cover for, you know, Cage acting up or whatever else.
Oh.
I'm guessing that's what he was talking about?
Yeah.
So, I don't know, though. But no, so that segment was fine. The crowd played along, which made it better. Because if they had, that thing would have died terribly, you know.
Oh,
but
yeah. Well, Lance Archer versus Hikaleo with your boy King Haku.
I was so happy when Haku came out. I think that's where my voice finally gave out. For those who don't know, Haku Ming, if you will, one of my favorite wrestlers ever because, one, come on, the hair, just awesome. Yeah. And then, turns out he's a legit scary badass. So, yeah, I'm definitely down with those people.
I'm going to throw it out there. The super scary badass is looking a little rough these days.
Well, dude, he's like 60-some years old, but you know what? You going to fuck with him? No.
No, because I'm never going to meet him.
Yeah. Well,
But
it was the Barbarian I had a chance to meet, and I chickened out.
Oh.
It was only a couple years ago, too. I was like, no, I can't go meet this guy. So, I don't know. It's pretty stupid, but whatever. So, yeah, the match was fine. I mean, I think it was more the opponent than it was Lance Archer. So I didn't really know a lot about this kid.
Oh.
Other than, oh, Haku's his dad. Like, oh, okay.
Yeah, that gave him something just to go with. But, I mean, he's a big kid. And obviously, like, I don't remember him being in New Japan the last time I watched a couple of years ago. So I don't think he's... Yeah. Very long into his wrestling journey, so it'll be interesting to see where he goes. But he definitely has the size, and it, you know, I mean, I don't think he did bad in the match, but it also wasn't, you know, it was just a match, you know.
Right. It was like I couldn't see Lance Archer losing 1 week after winning the title, so I guess that's why it just kind of rang hollow a little bit. Like,
yeah.
Like, really? Okay, you say so. So, but yeah, Archer's over pretty big too, which is kind of a surprise considering. But then you realize, well, his TNA days were so long ago that to, like, sit there and try and hold it against would be kind of silly.
Oh.
Because he's a totally different person now, so.
Yeah.
But yeah, but another guy that was super, super over, super popular.
Cool.
Crowd loved him.
Yeah, I mean, I'm happy for him. Like, that's been one where I definitely had hated on him for quite some time, but his work really in New Japan, it's kind of fun to see him get rewarded with a little bit more solid of a title run here.
Yeah. Well, I guess.
Hopefully.
I think it's New Japan Retribution. I think. It's him and Tanahashi.
Oh, so, yeah.
Which got a big pop, by the way. So when he showed up, and I'd say he was going to challenge the winner of the match, like, ooh. But, yeah, so there's... That was good. The match, like, isn't the FTR and Santana and Ortiz next?
No, it was Christian Cage and Jurassic Express... against Angelico, Mark Quinn, and Isaiah Cassidy.
Yeah, that was whatever. mean,
yeah.
See Christian again. Jungle Boy is a little bigger guy than you'd think. Luchasaurus I've seen before. Marco Stunt still sucks. Yeah.
Fair enough. Because, yeah, Thunder Rosa, Julia Hart was next up.
Oh, wait. I forgot. Oh, no, wrong match. Never mind. It's coming up. Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, this match was fine. Whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, it's Julia Hart's not ready for TV, which is actually a lot of, unfortunately, the women's dark matches. One of the two participants shouldn't have been on TV. So, you know, it sucks bagging on them, but there's a talent difference. And it was on display. So I guess that's why they're using it. They're using Dark Elevation to help people.
Oh.
I guess that hence the title. But, yeah. So, there are some women's matches. Red Velvet was one, and I forgot who the other two were. Oh, God. The one little Japanese lady.
Not Riho, I would take it.
No, the other one. Damn, I forgot her name. She was on Dynamite last week, I believe. She's got like the orangish brown hair, smiling all the time.
Yeah, I am not going to bail you out right now.
No, I'm not.
Just because I think you're correct in that she was on last week, but I don't know her name either, so.
Yeah, and I don't care, because she's a goofball who doesn't sell. It was actually a competitive women's match, which was weird, by the way, because the other girl was just, like, another local talent. I think her parents were actually in the front row, and then they were gone after that match. She'd take a move, sell it for, like, 6 seconds, and I am not exaggerating, and Nick Gage did the same shit. She'd just get up, walk to the corner of the ring, and just go do a move on the girl.
Oh.
No transition, no nothing. It'd be like, you hit me in the face, I fall, and go, ow. Then I just stand up, push you in the corner. You have to stay there while I go and do my goofy shit in the corner and run over. Like, she sold nothing. Like, at the end of the match, she was trying to sell, and then she just went, oh, and doing all these things. I'm like, you suck. I'm tired of, like, these weird Japanese women goofy chicks that they get. Like, can we get to, like, why is it Bull Nakano back over here? Like, just get somebody who understands what to do instead of being some weird niche thing.
Yeah, they certainly seem to have gone for the niche thing instead of maybe quality.
Yeah.
Or the WWE just keeps on stealing the only ones that know how to wrestle properly. One of the two.
Yeah, and even Elise goes, who is this? Is this these Japanese goofball chicks? And it's specific, but she goes, yeah, I don't like them very much. I'm like, yeah, I know. She goes, Asuka's way better. She goes, and who's the other one? I was like, Io Shirai. She's like, yeah, they're just way better. I'm like, yeah. Like, they understand what to do. These don't. And somehow they keep coming up on AEW. So, but, and then Santana Ortiz was next, right?
Oh, yeah. I must have missed that somewhere along the line here.
Well, that was, all right, and I mean dead serious. That was the reason I bought tickets. Was this match. And then they said that the 10, like, last week, after I already bought tickets, is when they said the 10-man was at, in Charlotte. I was like, oh my God. But I wanted to see FTR and Santana Ortiz. Like, they talked me into the building, plus I haven't been to a wrestling show in a while. And then Cash Wheeler, we couldn't tell what happened in
Well, and it wasn't something, honestly, it was hard to catch on TV. I know some people did some Zapruder film work on it later to see where Wheeler cut his arm on the like the pole holding up the turnbuckles. And yeah, it just looks like a nasty gash. I wouldn't imagine he's going to be out for that long, but I'm also going to imagine that boy probably needed stitches and a few of them.
I'm thinking surgery. Because I watched it back on here, and even the referee is going, oh my God. And it was right on the forearm where, like you know, the suicide arteries and stuff are. And that's the way he cut it.
Yeah.
So, basically, all right, so we're watching, and all of a sudden I'm like, what the hell is the doctor going crazy for? Like, that big jacked up dude, I don't know if you noticed him or not, the big bald jack dude, he's one of the trainers.
Oh, okay. No, I did not.
So he runs over. I didn't even notice the referee, like, waving his arms and stuff. He runs over the jack dude to, like, the timekeeper's, like, here, and they threw him his medical bag. Like, he was that noticeable in person. I was like, wait, what's going on? I'm like, oh, Cash Wheeler got hurt. But you couldn't tell what it was.
Yeah, you could just, and then honestly, like, as the live TV went for me, they just, after the finish happened, and I mean, you could tell that the finish was really awkward on TV, they just panned to Wheeler on, you know, being tended to on the side of the ring there.
Yeah.
And that's when I saw him, like, oh my God, like, I could tell by the way he was holding it and the way the bleeding was happening. I'm like, oh my God, that's just a giant cut on his arm. Like, and yeah, I hope he is not out for an extended time period, but who knows? Like, that gash did look pretty nasty.
Well, what we were seeing when we were there, and I watched back on TV, so they went for like that the sneak off the top rope, or like the pin attempt, or like a roll up after a top rope move. They went for it, and the referee didn't count it, so they had to hurry up and come up with something else. That's why we had that weak brain buster that ended it.
Oh, you know what? I probably would have caught that if I would have watched it over again. But I knew that it felt weird. But yeah, I guess there was two straight pinfall attempts.
Yes, and you could see Tully on the outside go, "Come on, ref! Like, wait, hey, we gotta wrap this shit up. Let's go." Yeah, he just totally blew it. And I mean, luckily Hardwood like kept his cool and didn't like try and get all over the referee, but I could see if he did, he'd have reason for, like, get the fuck out of here. Like, he's bleeding out over here. So, but yeah, that was the funny part, though, was, like, the whole crowd was like, wait, that's it?
Oh.
Because, like I said, none of us knew. No one had any idea that was going on.
Yeah, that, because that was his second match of the night. I don't know. I don't know why I missed that. But yeah, honestly, like, I was just like, oh my gosh, like, after having that long opening match, I'm like, man, this match should go on for a while too, was what I was thinking. And then when that finish happened, I'm like, what the hell? Because like I said, like, I couldn't tell, on first, like, when Natalya got hurt on Raw, I'm like, I could hear her yelp. And kind of knew that something was up in that match. But with Wheeler, I had no idea. So yeah, that finish came out of nowhere a little bit more to me. Just
like,
because...
How anticlimactic, too. Just a simple-ass brainbuster.
Oh.
You know?
Yeah, people getting up from Panama sunrises these days, but... you can't get up from a brain buster for some reason or another.
Yeah. But, I mean, you know, that's what they had to do.
Oh, yeah. It was all for the, all for Wheeler, which, yeah, again, I hope he recovers from that. Cause that did look nasty.
Yeah, that's going to be stitches, staples, maybe possible surgery. I don't know. It looked bad, man. So it's not every day you see like the referee go, "Oh my god!" Like, you can hear him. Jesus, dude, keep your shit together.
Well, that is one of those things that a lot of the wrestling injuries aren't blood heavy.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's always either, like, a torn, you know, someone blows out a knee, a leg break, you know. Yeah, there isn't a whole lot of bloody ones, you know. Someone gets legitimately knocked out. Mm-hmm. You know, there's all kinds of injuries in wrestling, but bloody ones are kind of few and far between. So I guess I understand why the referee acted that way. That is not a regular injury on the wrestling circuit.
No, and I also just wonder if like there was just a shock of it. Like, well, my God, that's not what I expected. We thought he broke his wrist.
Oh,
which, you know, doesn't have to make things better, mind you. But, you know, still.
No, it's well. Sometimes it is easier to let bone heal than muscle. So,
yeah, true.
Speaking of gruesomeness, I guess we can somewhat close on the main event here.
Yeah. It's just shit. It's stupid. Like, you have no idea how seriously people were taking this match. Like,
oh,
there were people seriously in the crowd going, "Cut him, Nick! Cut his fucking head!" Like, do you think this is real? I know Nick Gage does some dumb shit to people.
Right.
And, you know, the deathmatch stuff, we talked about it. It was cool. We were in school. Like, still going? It's like, not really. But
I mean, there's one organization dedicated to it here in Columbus. And I still have yet to go to one of their events.
Yeah, I just... Well, one, it's... I can't say he doesn't know how to wrestle. I think that's really stupid to say.
Oh.
But he was doing the same thing. Jericho would do something, and then he'd get all, like, he'd get kind of sell it, and then he'd just get up and walk around. All right, time to go over here and walk around. Oh, gotta get my pizza slicer spot in. Okay, I'm gonna go walk around. Like, ugh.
Yeah, like, I guess I've liked Nick Gage in some situations. It's kind of interesting because I always like Absolute Intense Wrestling because I feel like they have a weird line where they don't get too sadistic with those types of matches or too out of hand. Like, I guess I don't mind a good hardcore match every now and again, but, you know, when you start leaning into the deathmatch style now, yeah, I'm just out these days. And I think Gage can wrestle a better match, and I've seen him have almost completely straight-up wrestling matches and be good in them. But that's not what he, you know, that's not really what he does, obviously.
No.
You know, like, so, yeah, he was brought in for the purpose of that spectacle. But, yeah, the fact that people thought he was really going to fuck him up, even though he's getting paid plenty of money, I'm assuming, to keep Jericho safe. You know?
Oh, yeah. I mean,
because that's the other thing about this that... To me, it was almost more unappealing to have the Painmaker back. I'm like, this wasn't a good look the first time, and now on a fat and bloated Jericho, it looks worse.
Yes. Yeah, you're exactly right. But you know who doesn't care? The casual fan.
Oh, no. No, I've got to.
When he came out.
As a friend, I've got to ask, just to make sure, did you sing the Chris Jericho entrance theme?
No.
Thank God. We would have shut down the podcast if you had answered yes.
I'm telling you, man, I can see why people do it. You know, it's like everyone yeah. likes a chant. And I could definitely see it. Maybe I would have if I had something to drink. But my voice was so screwed that I'm like, I can't sing anything. Like it got hard to even cheer at the end. And luckily I didn't have anything to cheer for, so it didn't matter. But
yeah. Well, yeah. It's one of those ones where I guess, yeah, you know that because Jericho has five tasks to cover, he's probably not going to lose any of them.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't get to match if he doesn't win all of them, correct?
Right, right. And the thing is, it'll be shown that it's not about him winning them all. It's about how much he gets beat up.
Oh, yeah, but then he needs to lose in the end, then.
Doesn't it seem like that should be the way it goes?
Yeah, that's all. If that's the way they go, I'm cool with it. Because there is just that bad habit. And obviously, to me, the WWE does it worse than most companies. Where they're like, oh, man. Can they survive the wear and tear? Why are they taking a match 3 days before the pay-per-view? And then they go into the pay-per-view and they win without a problem, basically.
Yeah.
Or, you know, with maybe just the usual travails of a match. And it's just like, really, guys? Like, okay. And, yeah, like, Jericho, if these matchups do what they're supposed to, Jericho should lose in the end.
It only seems like he should. So,
but yeah, you never know. It's wrestling. So that's why, like, because it's wrestling, like, I just have that dread that Jericho is going to be the one that ends up winning in the end. And it's just like, I want this feud to kind of be over with, and it just, yeah, MJF should be the one going over, I guess.
Yes, I don't totally disagree with that. But at the same time, it's like, MJF is hated. Like, no one was cheering except maybe the wife. But, like, and she's actually, like, grooving with his music. I'm like, she's such a dork. But, like, MJF, he comes out, boos immediately. So that kid knows exactly what he's doing. I know he probably was criticized a lot.
Oh.
You know, for the way he does stuff. But it's like, whatever.
Yeah, he is well-positioned. And, I mean, I think that they've done a decent enough, like, they've recovered from the weirdness that was him getting into the Inner Circle.
Yes.
And I do actually, like, I will give them some credit. Like, even though this feud is going on too long, like, this kind of little side road, it seems to be working pretty well. Yeah. So, they've moved this storyline in the right direction, even though you could easily be tired of this thing that's been going on for quite a while at this point.
Yeah, it was no end in sight, too. That's why I thought it was weird to start with War Games. You know? Like,
oh.
That should have been the end of it, but
Yeah.
You know, whatever. If they do what they want, that's fine. So, but as far as this match goes, I just sat there, like, I know everyone's defending it. I was like, well, it's a different style of wrestling. It's a different art of wrestling. And I counter going, I didn't see any wrestling. What, he was like a spine buster once on Jericho?
Yeah.
And that's it. So it's like, stop. Stop with your hyperbole. Just,
yeah, you like it. That's cool. But
yeah,
it's not necessarily good wrestling.
No, and it's just boring after a while. Oh, he's really cutting with a pizza cutter. No, he's not. So cut it out.
Yeah, it's wrestling still, guys.
Yeah, like, now, I will say the glass was cool, but it was also that sugar glass. So no one was getting cut. That's not how a pane of glass breaks, if that's a real glass. So
real glass now is really, really hard to break.
Yes. But I guess that's the point. But it was the one part I thought was sad, and it was off screen. So after the match, like, you know, this is the only time Nick Cage is going to be on TV. Like, come on. And, you know, the crowd was really hot for him and all this stuff. And then the match ends, and there's no more MDK chants. There's no more Nick fucking Gage chants. None of that stuff. It was like, all right, cool, peace out, bro.
Oh,
you can see him walking up the ramp like, no one's going to cheer for me?
Yeah, he should at least get some cheers going out the building.
None.
Wow.
No, because everyone's paying attention to Jericho. Jericho's the star. And the people, you know, people reacted. So that part was kind of sad. I'm confused. I know what they're doing. Like, Jericho's trying to go through, like, either his career or work at a match as he wants to. And that's why he had, now the chair one was kind of weird, but, like, this week was the hardcore one. Now he gets to wrestle Juventud Guerrero one more time. And someone goes, so what's he going to do next? Come out as, like, the old Jericho with the ponytail and all that stuff?
Which is kind of funny since Matt Hardy is, he hasn't really embraced that gimmick recently, but did do a very similar, I'm going to come out in all my different iterations gimmick not all that long ago.
Well, he did that at BTE, which I know you don't watch, but he did do a version of that on there. Like, just constantly coming back, so.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, it's been out there, so it'd be kind of funny if Jericho, not that he say that he's stealing it, because I'm sure someone did it before Matt Hardy. I just don't know who. But it's just kind of funny to have them be that kind of close together, honestly.
Yeah. So, I'm curious. I don't. Does Juventud Guerrero even wrestle anymore?
I've got no earthly idea.
Yeah, neither do I. So, you know, it's another curious main event, if you will. So.
Yeah, I mean, everyone loves nostalgia. I guess for everyone's sake, Juve is in wrestling shape and is ready to go.
Yeah, no kidding. Because last time I saw him was in WCW.
Oh.
And that's a long time ago. So.
Yes, it is. Quite some time.
Yeah, but no, the match was fine, just whatever. It's just boring. And
yeah.
He brings out light tubes, cool. He's like, this, fine, whatever. That's just how I felt. And then, honestly, after the show was over, Jericho, kind of, he was really selling the beating. And, you know, people cheered and was like, hey, hang around for AEW, after AEW Dark, we just got to clean up this glass, do this, this, and this. And I go, it is 10:05. We've been sweating for 3 hours. Let's go. So we just left. And I would have liked to see Moxley come out. Ty Conte wrestled, and I don't care. I just needed to get home and take a shower. So
I that's just late, too. You know, because isn't that 2 hours long?
Almost, yes. I think this week's is 1:40. So we would have been there till almost midnight.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Like, that's just one of those ones where you kind of know that at least a certain amount of your fan base, well, A, if you're bringing children, you don't want them out until midnight. B, if you're someone our age, you usually have a job and you can't afford really being up till midnight during a weekday unless you don't sleep much.
Yeah, that's me, so.
Yeah, it's kind of weird to be doing something that runs that late to me.
Yeah, and it's not worth it. The matches are all throwaway. So there's no, like, you know, no big thing.
Yeah, and they don't ever show highlights on Dynamite at all.
No.
And don't do a very good job of tying in any storylines from Dark into Dynamite, so.
No, they just all of a sudden they say, hey, they're the number one contenders because they won 20 matches on Dark. You're like, what? Can you show some footage? So.
Yeah. Yep.
But no, but overall, I enjoyed this show far better than the one I went to before. It was just, I mean, Elise was thinking that maybe it's just because, you know, we're finally back, and that's what made it better. And I went, I guess maybe, but at the same time, no. The show was very good. And, you know, I'm not saying they don't have their issues.
Oh, right.
Like booking issues, like.
Oh.
They just, like, I was watching on TV today, and they said the Hangman Page is the number one contender, right?
Correct.
Well, then what the hell is he going through all these hoops for?
Well, that was one of those Twitter things that people point out. It's just like, don't you guys have a ranking system? Shouldn't Tony Khan just be saying, hey, Kenny Omega, you're taking on Adam Page. Like, this shouldn't happen.
Yeah.
You know, like, you...
I absolutely agree, yes.
You created a... Because that's the one thing that still, to me, is like an annoying device. Like, they'll use the ranking system when they want to. And they've even talked about it with Paige. But it's like, well, then, again, why isn't he just in there in a match? Like, that's open... and closed, you know? Like, sometimes Dana, you know, if you compare it to the UFC, like, Dana White occasionally will go, oh, well, he's fighting number three contender because, you know, it's a more entertaining match or something like that.
Yeah.
But you need to show them wielding their power over Paige, not having him lose a match that costs him... the championship, possibly?
Yeah.
You know, like, that's not the way that works.
Yeah, it's very weird. Especially seeing Tony Khan right there. In, like, the Cody segment.
Oh. Yeah. There is a very inconsistent authority figure there. You know, and even the WWE, thank goodness, has gone away from the evil authority figure and have just, for the most part, Adam Pearce and Sonya Deville are playing it straight these days, as is William Regal. So, yeah, like, Tony Khan doesn't seem to favor anyone, but he also seems to kind of let some things slide while other things don't slide, and it's kind of weird.
Yeah.
Storyline wise.
Oh yeah, of course. But yeah, but no, I would highly recommend going because one, the crowds really make such a difference.
Oh.
With the cheers and that, it's crazy. So.
Yeah, I mean, it came off great on TV. Like I've really thought all the crowds for pretty much any of the live wrestling events have come off pretty hot. Because, yeah, people did not see it for whatever it was, 16 months or something in that area.
Yeah, yep. But I don't know, man. I would suggest going. Hopefully, you know, NXT will get the ball rolling and start touring again, but... you know, they always go in small breaks or small loops. Excuse me.
Yeah. Well, that I guess it'll be interesting. I don't think AEW has come to Columbus yet, but I also don't know of a venue that kind of fits their billing of being like 10,000 or so seats.
Well, yeah, because also WWE has contracts with everything. So you got what, Nationwide and then the True Value Center, not True Value, Value City.
Yeah. I don't even know if it's called that anymore, but yeah. Because, well, and they're owned by the same management company anyway. Because if something's going on at Nationwide Arena, Raw, SmackDown, / the pay-per-view just gets kicked over to, I guess I still call it the Shot. That's why I'm like, I kind of forgot that it's called Value City Arena. But yeah, Schottenstein Center on OSU's campus. So, yeah. But I mean, those are generally larger venues than AEW plays.
Well, that United Center Chicago's not. So that's going to be... That's a risky gamble, man. That's a lot of people for a TV show.
Oh.
You know, when they do that Rampage at the United Center in Chicago?
Yeah.
So, a lot of money on the table.
Yeah, well, I mean, it'll be fun. I hope they sell out. You know, I hope all these events do well. Like, like I said, it's just made a difference, I think, in general, in wrestling. I'm like, you didn't realize how much, even though you don't always necessarily agree with the crowd, it does make a difference for the atmosphere of professional wrestling by quite a margin.
Yeah, it does. And because fake crowd noise and standees and whatever else doesn't cut it. So that's why I'm just waiting for Ring of Honor's TV show to finally have some people back on it, because they're the last ones and it's brutal. So
anything else to say before we talk about beer?
Nah, let's do a short one this week. Sounds good to me.
Okie dokie. You know, I went on vacation somewhat recently, and I bought some beers for vacation, and I did not get to all of them. One of them that I did not get to was Land Grant Spring Quarter Belgian Blonde with local honey. And this thing went down really quick. It's a nice light beer. And I'm going to assume that it's not too high in ABV. 6.4%. A little bit higher than I expected. But, yeah, that has a nice flavor. That was a good choice for a summer beer. I am yet again noting that during the summertime, I'm liking backing off the ABV a little bit and going with something a little more thirst-quenching. So, yeah, that's available all over the state of Ohio and maybe even beyond.
I was drinking water, so.
Good for you.
Yeah, it's hot and I sweat a lot at the gym today, so. Good old bottle of water.
So. Yeah, vitamin water's up next. The life of that at DeFranco 11 and at Granny Mays.
Yep.
Brand at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Download us at Spotify, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, and any number of host places for podcasts. Have a good night, grandkids.